I'll have more.
You must have off every now and then. I have an assistant today because I forgot something, the clicker thing that...
Oh my gosh.
One of the things that's nice about when you have kids that help in the ministry, especially younger ones, they like to do technology stuff. So I need help with that at times.
Amen.
Amen.
So she does real good with that. Okay, I will start with the update, but most of you do know us to begin with, but I will tell you who we are to begin with if... Give it a couple minutes, it'll warm up. I will say this too. We put the things out, the updates, those papers that I printed. Okay. I had actually get an update about needing a projector for over there. We need to replace for film ministry. It's interesting because God actually answered the prayer before I realized it. My dad had a projector that he's not using. It's actually the one we have now. And he sent it to me by mail, and it will work over in Romania also. So before I even needed to give out the prayer request, God answered it. You know what? That's our God, isn't it?
Amen.
He knows exactly what we need before we need it.
Yes, sir.
And he's working ahead. So I will start with this. We are the Niscal Family Called to the Field of Romania. Sending church is Redline Bible Church, where Pastor Steve Smook is the senior pastor. Now I'll get to what we've been doing. We moved to Romania March of 2017. One of the first things that everybody asked us over there, and still asked us, why are you here? Because think about it. Romanians are all trying to get to America. They're like, why are you here? So I tell them, I'm here to tell people about Jesus Christ, that he's the only way to get to heaven. What he did pays for your sins and nothing else. I mean, it just gives an open door to be able to talk to
Amen.
People. It was funny, and I'll just say this quick. Last week, I was down at Staples getting some things. And the guy, you know, I said, oh, I'm back from Romania. And he said, what are you doing in Romania? I got to talk, you know what, 20 minutes. He was asking me about things about the Bible and stuff and about Jesus Christ. You know what it is? It's God working in hearts. God preparing and God giving the words to say. So we moved to Romania March of 2017. Language class, it's one of the first things that we do. Sorry, some of the words might not be on there and some other ones. But what's the first thing we expect people to do when they move here? Learn English. Exactly. You will be surprised how many missionaries actually go to a foreign field and just depend on a translator. I'm like, why would you do that? Like, if you don't know me, I like to talk to people. I'm not going to have a translator every time I go to talk to people. I want to be able to talk to them, okay? And you know what they do? They respect the fact that you try. And that goes a long way when you're dealing with people. The fact that you show them respect, that means a lot to them. That's giving out tracts, gate to gate there. It's a little bit different than here. You, generally speaking, the houses, the doors are not in the front. They're on the side. Okay? You have to go through a gate to get to the doors. It's just the way it is. So generally speaking, we put a tract in the mailbox. Am I going to say it's legal? They tell me they don't know. But you know what happens? Most of the time, all their mailboxes are just open and rusted out half the time, so it just kind of falls right down through. Long story short, their post office system is not near as good as ours, but anyways, they have other things that are good for us. So, but we go out. You know, we go out. I'm involved in the nationals. And one of the things that Romanians are not very good with and don't do a lot of, I should put it that way, is public outreach. And part of it had to do with the communist years. During the communist years, if they did it, they were put in jail. That simple, you know. So that kind of has an effect, you know, on keeping people from doing things. They witness to people, mainly with friendship stuff and things like that. But the public outreach, they don't do a lot of. So involving them and doing more of that next. And that's Christian, one of our graduates. This is personal work. This guy here, I've been asking prayer for. Owen is this guy here. He's from Jordan. The other two, the one guy, Maj, he's from Syria. The other guy, Nurzani's from Kazakhstan. These guys, it's interesting because in Timisoara, where we're at, they have a big university. There's a lot of international students. They teach in Romanian and English. A lot of the some of the international students don't know Romanian, but they know English. Well, that gives me a perfect opportunity, okay? It's just God-directed steps, again. But these three guys, I was talking to them for an hour and a half. They had questions about the Bible. They had questions about Jesus Christ. Two are Muslim, one's atheist. And so that's the personal work that I'm doing. The guys there at McDonald's, we were out at McDonald's, I was passing out tracts, and they started talking to me. They're like, why are you here? Again, I gave them a tract, and it's in Romania. And they're asking me, and they're like, yeah, we heard some things about Jesus Christ. And one guy, evidently, he was brought up in going to church. Okay, so it just kind of reminded them some things and stuff. It wasn't, a lot of these guys were not ready to get saved. Owen, I will say this, Owen is close to getting saved. He called me, he's been texting me even over here. We keep in touch. And he's like, he knows that he doesn't have peace. He knows things are not right and that he needs something different. But he wants to at first lump Jesus Christ with Buddha, Muhammad, and all these guys. And I said, no, you have to realize he's not a God. He is the God. Okay? There's a difference. And so he understands that. But to make a long story short, the last thing I told him was, and I gave him an Arabic Bible before we left. This is interesting. I was able to get an Arabic Bible, New Testament, for him and his friend Maj. Maj actually moved to Bucharest, the other side of the country, 12 hours away. But I got to give him the Bible before he moved. Owen has his. And I told him, I said, look, will you do me this favor? I said, will you please read the book of John? Just read it 10 minutes each day. And I said, and ask God to show you and give you understanding before you read. He said he will. I texted him yesterday. I said, are you reading? He said, yeah. So keep him in prayer because God's working. He knows that something, he doesn't have what he needs. He knows that. But I want him to understand because at first he just wants to say, well, I'll try Jesus. And I said, no, it's not you try Jesus. I said, you must believe and understand. And that's when I asked him to read. He said he's going to read it. So God's working. Okay? But that's the personal work. Takes time. Go ahead. Chalk drawing. This is one of the things that I did not expect to do when I got over there, but it's just one of those things that opened up. At the bus stops, at the university is one of the places I do the chalk drawings. I just set it up. I do a chalk drawing, and in the middle of it, I pass out tracts. I continue doing it, and just personal work again. But you know what? There are people I was surprised at the university where I set up. When people are coming down the walkway, their eyes just naturally go to the one place, and that's where I set up. Well, I stood back the other day after I was done, and people were, I saw about five people just stop and look. You know what? That's what we're to do. Give them the Word of God. Give them the truth. Okay? And those are, that's dealing with the resurrection, burial, and or death, burial, resurrection. I have other ones that I do. But again, it's planting seed. This guy here, on this side, I talked to him, and there was three guys there. And the bus that was to take them out of the city actually broke down. So they were there for an extra 45 minutes more than they were going to be, okay? So I got to talk to them. And it was funny because as I'm explaining to them about things, two of the guys were like, yeah, we've heard this all before. And they're like, why don't you just go down to the center of town? There's more people like you down there. And I'm just thinking to myself, and what he's saying is, yeah, we've heard this, but we just don't want to believe it. But I'm thinking to myself, you might want me to go downtown because you don't want to hear it, but I'm here because somebody else wants you to hear it. The last guy, the two of the guys left, the third guy was still there, and I was talking to him some more. He said, yeah, we've heard all this, but we just don't like to think about it. I told him, I said, look, you're going to spend eternity in one of two places. You ought to think about it. He goes, yeah. And, you know, that was as far as I could go.
Amen. Good.
But I gave him a track. And you know what? That's what we're doing. Going out doing these different things. Next, chalk drums is one of the things. Next. Helping the graduates. We have the Bible Institute I work with. It's graduates that are out in the different different villages around Timisoara. I'll help them. Sometimes it's just simply, the simple example is this. One guy, Gigi. He had hernia surgery, and it wasn't the laparoscopic. It had cut him open. Mm. Well, you know your driveway, Brother Dale?
Yeah.
Imagine a road about 10 miles like that. Okay? So when you're having hernia surgery, and you're bump, bump, bump for 10 miles, you are not going on that road. Okay? So I just basically filled in. But those are the types of things. Sometimes it's just simply helping one of the pastors with filling in for the pulpit, special meetings, next. Sometimes special events. The one couple, they got baptized, and when people get baptized, they have special speakers come in and stuff. So I came in, he had me do a special speaking. The other church, it was the 100th anniversary, things like that. Next. This here are some of the new graduates that will be graduating this year, and you'll see on the next slide. We'll be doing more film ministry this next year, so be working with them. Go ahead. Conferences and teaching, again. This is a gypsy ministry I've worked with, and you're seeing some growth with them. The gypsy culture is a whole different culture. So trying to work with them is different, but you know what we're seeing? There's getting to be some growth there. Some men that, honestly, one guy I first met in the year 2000. He's finally in church, finally being faithful. Finally, the Lord finally got a hold of his heart. And so there's some teaching going on that we're doing and just trying to help them to grow. Next. This here is the film ministry. This will be a big thing in the summer. Basically, here's what happens in the summer. Kids are out of school, okay? But they go out into the countryside with either grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles, whatever. They go out there and extend the family. Well, out in the countryside, let me ask you this. Is there a whole lot to do in Black Creek, Marin, right? Is there a whole lot doing here? No. Well, it's the same over there. Yeah, they have their soccer fields. Yeah, you have the bad things to do, okay? But what we'll do is basically we do it in 2 days. One day in the evening we come in about 6 o'clock. Let everybody know that we're going to do a film ministry. We'll do face painting next. Then we play games with them, some kind of a soccer, water balloons, whatever it is. Next. And then I'll give a short Bible story. We usually start everything around 7. Usually about 8:30 I start the Bible story. 8:40, somewhere around there. Then around 9 o'clock we set up and have the film set up. And then we show a film about Jesus Christ and I give the gospel afterwards. Again, this is planting the seed of the Word of God. Letting God work in our hearts. This is not a thing. I mean, I make sure I go over the gospel and make sure they understand it. And if you want to know more, please come see us. Because remember, we're dealing with religious people that have been told for years, say this prayer. Say this prayer. Go in to the confessional and say this prayer and do this and do that. And they've been taught that for years. So I'm not just going to say, hey, say this prayer, Jesus will save you.
Yeah.
They'll say a prayer, not a problem. That's not what I want.
That's right.
I want God to work in their hearts.
Yeah, it's good. Bro.
So that's one of the big things with the film ministries. That's going to take up most of the summer. Next. Kids camp. This was one thing that was an encouragement to me. Just something, again, the Lord opened up this door. It's about 22 kids in this orphanage that another missionary that we know works with, she had me come and do the Bible teaching for that week. Did Bible teaching each morning, was basically a counselor, spending the time with the kids, getting to know the kids. In the evenings, we did a different film each night. And you know what? It just started a bond with some of the kids. Next. And we had games, we had fun with them. Next. But reaching is more than just preaching. I went down the week before we came over here. And just, you know what? I spent time with them. I was able to show them that, you know, I care. You know, these are kids that don't have, either they don't have a father or a mother, or they don't have both. And yeah, they know the people at the orphanage care for them, but you're talking 22 kids, and you have two people there for staff, okay? And they rotate the staff. I don't have to go down there. But I want to show them I care for them, to show them I love them. Because you know what? They need somebody to love them. So that's what we're doing, those kind of things. The next time I go down, I might incorporate some some Bible teaching in with it. But I wanted them first just to know that somebody cares. Because you know what? That's what they need to know. When they know somebody, when people know that you care for them, you know what that does? That opens up their heart to listen to you.
Amen.
That's simple. If they think that you are, if they think that they're just another number or statistic in your reach, they don't care what you say. But when they know that you care for them, they'll listen. And they'll at least give ear, and they know that. Next. Joy bags, this is again one of the things, just another outreach tool. We don't put these together. It's a Direct Line Ministries. Paul Dean is the guy who heads it up. And he sends them over to us every year. Just again, another way to be able to send to the orphanages, help get them the gospel. All of them have a gospel track in. All of them have the gospel in. It just gives it a way to be able to witness to them. Next. First printed track. This was something that I was glad to do. We can get the chick tracks over there printed. Okay, we have a guy who prints them. Again, a lot of this is, again, what's the purpose of the tracts? To get the Word of God planted. To get seed planted. Okay? This one here is more of a glossy style tract because does a fisherman use the same bait everywhere? He has different words, doesn't he? It's the same type of a thing. I can get the stuff from Fellowship Tract League, but it's more of that, just the newspaper print stuff. Some of the older people, it needs to look nice for them before they'll take it. That simple. So we got to do that. I'm hoping to do more. We'll just see what the Lord directs. That simple. I did it in English, did some translation, but then I had my people that I work with that are Armenian check everything to make sure. Okay? So that was that. Next. Our future plans. Some of that's cut off. It's basically this. Continue to pass out the tracts. I want to be fluent in Romanian by the end of 2019. I can speak to people, okay? They will know, they will get the gist of what I'm saying, and I can generally get the gist of what they're saying. That's different from being fluent.
That's right.
I want to be able to go out and just talk to people, and them talk to me. Because you know what? That is so important. I'm doing some things in the church we go to, I'm doing some things in Romanian, so I'm getting some of the language you use. The language you use in church is a little bit different than what you use out on the street. It's just the way it is. Okay? So there's a good amount of university students. I'm going to be doing that. Basically, my schedule is once a week I go into there. To another day of the week I go to the bus stops. And then usually Saturdays we're out doing the tracks door to door or gate to gate. And then whatever else the Lord throws in there to do. Okay? So that's the basic schedule and the learning the language and so forth, too. So the reach out surrounding the communities with the film ministry. I'd like to get 20 communities next year. If I can do that next summer, school stops the middle of June. And then they start back up beginning of September, I think it is. That gives half of June, all of July, middle of August, and 2 weeks in August, basically. So that's what we're hoping to do, and we'll see what the Lord does. And again, working with the graduates from our institute to be able to help them with reaching out. That's it for the slides. The big thing over there is just, as I said, honestly, I want to see the Romanians getting more involved with the public outreach. And I'm not talking the street preaching and stuff. I don't have anything wrong with that. I've done that, you know. But will that work over in Romania? I don't know that it would because of who I'm dealing with. The chalk drawings do. Why? Because you know what? It's not so much of us in the face. But you know what? They're always curious. When you see something going on that's different, what are you? You're curious. Well, what's this guy doing? They have guys over there on the street corner. They'll have guys selling stuff all the time. And they have heavy gear all the time. Without a problem. But I'm not selling anything. But I'm there doing something. And in the square and stuff, they have people that come out there and they make paintings. They do the violin. They do all this stuff in the square, you know, all the time. That's something wrong. You got to have a permit to do it there, okay? But bus stops, nobody ever says anything about it. University, nobody says anything about. I'm not pulling anybody over or anything like that. You know, honestly, I think if you just use some common sense goes a long way. I mean, honestly, if you're going to be in the middle of the street stopping traffic, well, yeah, of course somebody's going to be yelling at you. If you're going to be accosting people to get them to take your tracks, yeah, of course somebody's going to be yelling at you. But if you just go out trying to show them truth, whoever wants to listen, God honors that. Now, I realize there's places that, yeah, you're going to get thrown in jail or stuff. You go over to the Middle East and stuff like that. You got to do things differently. But where I'm at, the chalk drawings is a good way to do it. Public evangelism, we can do without a problem as far as being able to have pass out tracts and talk with people. There's not an issue with that. What has happened with the people in Romania is the same thing that's happening here, though. They're able to get everything we can now.
Yeah.
And guess what? They're busy working all the time to try to get everything they can so that they can enjoy life. But they're not enjoying life. Some of them, it is interesting because they still are a more laid-back society, whereas they value the time with each other, they value the time with family. And I will say this, that gives me a big advantage in some things, because for them, to show hospitality is a big thing, and it's part of their culture. So when they meet somebody new, for them, it's being hospitable, at least let them talk some to you and give you some things. So that, for me, especially being an American, they know I'm American, they just like want to know all this stuff. It just gives a big advantage. So there's some reasons I see why the Lord has us there the way he does. I went out with a guy, and then we'll get to preaching right after this. One guy, university student that I met, he's saved. He's from Nigeria, and he's there, and we went out for coffee, and we were talking, we paid, and they're like, oh, well, you guys ain't from around here, you know, where are you from? And he said he's from Nigeria, you know, and I said, oh, and I'm from America. They said, oh, you're from America, how is it, you know, and all this, and we left, and the guy looked, and he said, see, I told you. He said, I tell them I'm from Nigeria, they could care less. You tell them you're from America, man, right away, they want to know more. I said, yeah, I guess that's the way it is. Then it is. Good, bad, whatever. But you know what you do? The wise as a serpent. Harmless as a dove.
That's right.
And you know what you do? You use that stuff. Just that's the way it is. And use that stuff to your advantage. You get to tell them why you're there. Because that's really the first question everybody asks. Why are you here? To tell you about Jesus Christ. They have religion. They don't have a relationship.
Yes, sir.
So that's what matters.
Yeah.
Okay, so pray for us. Pray for wisdom. Pray for help with us learning the language. Well, you got something to say.
Ask if they have any questions.
Okay, do you have any questions?
Well, how's your daughter get so smart?
Yeah. She's heard a lot of people tell me things.
Yeah.
She has a better memory.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if the girls, do you want to say anything? Do you want to say anything? My girls are shy. Go ahead.
When people come up to you and like they ask you what you're doing and all that, is it similar to how people would do it in America, or better or worse?
You mean as far as them asking me why? What usually happens is I'm already talking to them, so there's already a dialogue started. And so it'd probably be the same, because when we're asking somebody, like if you meet somebody from France, and you're talking to them, you're asking, well, why are you here? It's probably about the same. They usually don't ask that until I start talking to them, because even in Romanian, they know I'm not from there.
Yeah.
It's that simple. I will never hide my accent, but... it's what is probably different than here is they have more time. They take more time to talk to you. And they may take more time to hear from you, because to them, an American has things better. So to them, they're like, hey, I'm talking to somebody who has things better. So maybe I can learn something or hear something that will make things better for me. Okay, does that answer that question? Okay. Anybody else?
How many people do I reach out to?
Well, that I'm praying for, that I'm keeping in contact with regularly. Okay, these are guys that I'm talking to, I'm seeing what's going on, and I'm praying for regularly. Right now it is 1, 2, 3, 4. Four guys. But these are the ones I'm talking
to. Yeah, amen.
Every week I'm texting them, hey, how you doing? What's going on in your life? You know? Not just I give them a track and then I think about them a month later. These are ones that I'm keeping in contact with. Even over here, that's why I said even over here in America. I understand the technology stuff, the bad thing that came with that. Man, at the same time, there's some good things that I can use it for.
Amen.
I can keep in touch with guys over in Romania.
That's right.
I couldn't do that before. You know what? I just text them up, hey, how are you doing? Been thinking about you, praying for you. And so probably about four people. The one guy, Michael, I haven't talked to him since we left. I don't have his phone number, but I stop in and see him about once every 2 weeks. He's saved, says he's saved. I'm going to put it that way. He can tell me when he got saved. He knows he's living wrong. I believe he's saved because he knows he's living wrong. He knows he should be closer to God. He knows a lot of this stuff. And I'm like, well, brother, I'm like, come to him. I know. But he doesn't move. I'm like, I'm praying for him. But you know what you got to do. But he does. He said, yeah, I do. You know, honestly, I'd love to say God's always merciful. God is merciful. But there comes a time when God says, that's it. And even if you're his child, guess what? There's a time when he says, that's it.
Yep.
And you're coming home. And I don't know when that point is for him, but I've told him, talked to him about it. I'll be honest, some of these guys, I don't pull punches with people. But Owen, I'll say this quick, I got to get to this. When I was talking to him that hour and a half, I mean, think about this, he's a Muslim. He's not, as far as I know, he's known of Christians. But I don't know that he's had a Bible himself before, okay? That's why I wanted to make sure I got him a Bible in Arabic. When we were talking, he said, towards then, he said, so you're telling me, if I, as a good Muslim, that have done all these good things, stand before God, and then somebody else comes and stands before God, and only has Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but not all these good works, he will go to heaven and I will go to hell. I said, yes. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I said, it's because of what he said. And I explained to him, you know, I said, this way then, you know what? Anybody, anywhere can get saved. Because it's not what we do. It's what he did.
Amen.
And he understood it. That was a year ago, I think. You know? It takes time for God to work in people's hearts. Mm-hmm. But he's working. And so, I forget where I was going with that, but you know, that's honestly what we're doing over there. And that's what so much is needed for people. The whole religion thing, I get tired of religion. And thankfully, you know what Owen told me? I think it was, I don't know. Because this was funny. He unfriended me on the messenger and stuff. I thought, okay, well, he's done. He knows what I stand for. He won't talk to me again. The end of that summer, he was with his friend Maj, who was the other Muslim, and I've been keeping in touch with him. Maj said, oh, you know who I'm with? I said, I don't know. And I'm with Owen. I said, oh, tell him I said hello. And next thing I know, he's texting me again. Okay, man. Thank you, Lord. You know, another opportunity. And about 2 months later, he asked me if I've been trying to meet him for coffee and stuff. He said, well, let's meet downtown, you know, we'll just take a walk. I did. He was talking, and he's thinking I grew up in some Christian home and all this. And I said, well, I said, here's my testimony. I gave my testimony. I grew up in an unsaved home. Started drinking with my dad at the age of 8. You know, That same now, some things are different. But he's like, you know, and I said, look, I said, you know what? Because he told me, he said, you know, he said, I'm just tired of religion. I said, that's good. Because it's not about religion. And I just simply told him, I said, look, it's about this. It's about there's a God in heaven that knew you needed a Savior. You were a sinner and you needed a Savior. And that he knew you weren't going to make it on your own. So you know what he did? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. Because he loves you. I have a Father in heaven because I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior that loves me, that cares for me, that is there for me. I said, it's not about me following some rules and regulations. It's about me doing what I do because I love him because of what he's done for me. So that's what it's about. It's not about doing enough good things and trying to earn favor with God. It's about doing what you do because you love him, because he loved you. And you know what? At first, it just started happening. I wasn't even trying to think of it. It just started coming. And he still kept talking to me. He's still talking to me last week. Actually, 2 days ago. And you know, he knows he needs something. And he's trying to find it in all the wrong places. And I pointed him to the right place. Now it's up to him to take it. That's what it's about. That's what we are here for. We'll go quick to this, but I want to go through this pretty quick. The purpose of the church. Now realize, and I believe you know a lot of this stuff, but I like us to look at things in Scripture. Not just because it's what we've been taught, but because of Scripture. The church is not... Well, let's start with this. You know where the first mention of the church is? It's in Matthew 16, 15. Excuse me. He says this. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me pray real quick. Father, I do pray and I ask you to bless this time, bless your word. Help us to apply it to our lives and to remember what you said. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and we ask. Amen. This rock is who? This rock is Jesus Christ. Amen. The church is built upon who? Jesus Christ. Not a religion. Not a set of rules and regulations, but upon a person. What was it that Peter confessed? Jesus, you're the Christ. You're the one that was sent. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This wasn't about, well, I want to have a better life. This wasn't about, oh, well, I want things to be great in my life. This wasn't about, I'm going to follow these rules and regulations. Who was he looking to? He was looking to Jesus Christ. This is the first mention of the church. The church is not a building. I think you do know that. But I want us to make sure we understand that. Because so many times we do start thinking of, oh, well, we've got to get people here to get them in the church. The building is not the church. The people in the building that are saved are the church.
Amen.
And that's what matters to Jesus Christ. Not the building. I understand keeping the building up for appearances and all that. So I understand all that. But let's go to the next place. And this is where I want us to understand that the church, the foundation is Jesus Christ. Not the building or anything like that. But also look at Acts chapter... Look, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. I don't get my doctrine from the book of Acts, but I'll tell you this. Don't think that you can't learn things from it.
That's right.
I understand rightly divided. I understand that. But don't ever get to the point where you think you can't learn things from the other books. Okay, they're there for us to learn from. Simple as that. But what does he say in Acts 2:47? Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What was saved? People.
Amen.
What was he adding to the church? People, not buildings. Okay? It gives you a simple thing there to look at. Well, if he's adding to the church, what's he adding? Not buildings. People. That's where, I mean, he's telling us there, okay? I want to go to Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Like I said, this will be quick. But I believe this is one of the things that is seriously lacking in most churches today. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. You see the two things that are evident there? Walking in the fear of the Lord. I'm not going to give you a list of standards. I'm not going to give you a list of rules and regulations. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Do you fear God? As a Christian. Simple as that. Do you have a Father in heaven that sees everything, that hears everything, that knows everything? And do you live that way? Or do we live the way of this? Oh, what? God sees part of my life, but not all of my life. Or this. God is gracious and God is merciful and he will forgive me of everything I do. He will forgive you. Your sins are forgiven. They're taken care of. Don't get me wrong. But is he your Father in heaven and will he just allow you to live whatever way you want? Mm-hmm. No. If you have children or if you have a father that was a good father, okay, did he just let you go and do whatever you want? No. What happened when you started doing something? And me and my one friend down in Florida have talked about this because he has 7 kids, okay, so he understands kids. And we got talking, and he said, you know, sometimes as parents, you know, and he said he's guilty of this, sometimes we punish our children just because they're embarrassing us, not because it's good for them. But let me ask you something. What about your Father in heaven? Is he going to punish you because it's good for you or because you're embarrassing him?
Come on.
He's going to punish you because it's good for you.
Right.
Because, and you might say, well, it's all because it brings him a bad name. It will bring him a bad name, but you know what sin always brings at the end? Always. Death.
Yeah.
Always. We think of death as somebody dying right away. No. You know what death is? Separation. You know what sin does in your life as a Christian? You do have physical ramifications for it. That simple. You sow, you reap. That simple. But you know what sin does in your spiritual life? Separates you from your Father. People might not see it right away, but you know in your heart that things aren't right with you and God. You know in your heart that there's something that's you want to go before him, but you're like, God, I know this is there. I can't just go to him. Why? Because there's something in your heart. And that's what sin does in your life. And your Father in heaven doesn't want that. Your Father in heaven wants to have fellowship with you. I love this simple fact. When God created Adam and Eve, you know what he wanted to do with them? Fellowship with them. That's simple. It's not about making great buildings, making great accomplishments, being this great person. It's about being able to talk with God.
Amen.
Being able to walk with him. Any of you that have children, any of you that have parents, you know what is the greatest thing? You can just talk with your children. And if you know they love you, and they know you love them. The rest of them really don't matter, does it? That's what God wants in our life. You know what sin does in our life? It breaks that fellowship.
That's right.
It breaks that one-on-one walk with God. Mm-hmm. Why? Because God is holy. God is righteous. And God will not just allow sin to be there and the fellowship still stay. Why? Because he's a good father. He knows what's best. And he wants what's best for us. It's not, it is about him. Yes, it is. But it's not about him in that he's going to do bad to us just so that it's about him. He's going to do good for us at the same time. Don't you love that we have a Father in heaven like that? Yes. I got to say this last thing because I love to brag on my Father in heaven. He's the one who created everything there is. He's the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be trees, trees came up. He said, Jesus, on the storm, when they were thought they were going to sink, he said, peace, peace. All of a sudden, I don't think it was a calm tragic. I just think it was supposed to stop. And peace. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Dead man came forth. That's my Savior. And if he can do that, and he rose again from the dead, and he hears me, what do I got to worry about? We have fears. We have concerns. One friend down in Redline right now, his wife, 46, 3 months ago, they found out she has cancer. She'll probably be going to bed next 2 weeks. She's saved.
Amen.
She loves the Lord. She said she's just tired. She's ready to go home. Her biggest prayer request was for this. For her father to get saved.
Amen.
And for her brother to get right with the Lord.
Amen.
You can't buy that peace.
That's right.
That peace only comes from walking with the Lord.
Amen.
Friends over in Romania. And bury their 2-year-old daughter right when we were there. It was hard. But they stayed faithful. They know they'll see her again. That don't come. You don't buy that peace. It comes from walking with the Lord. That's what God wants in our life. That's why we're here. Not to make the church bigger. God will do that when he's ready.
Amen.
But to walk with him, to show him to others, to walk in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Those two things are what we're here for. Okay? I want to have prayer and then I'll turn it over to Brother. Father, again, thank you for your grace and mercy, love and kindness, Jesus. Thank you, we serve a living Savior. Thank you that you are there. Thank you that you're holy. Thank you that you work in our lives to make us more like you. Help us to remember, Father, you care for us and you want what's best for us. Help us to listen to the Holy Spirit as he works in our hearts and lives, shapes us and molds us. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray and I ask you.